You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Tale of two halves. The Rockets led by 19 in the first half, by 16 early in the second half, yet somehow ended up losing by double digits in a brutal 103-91 loss, culminated by just 9 points in the fourth quarter on Monday night in Minneapolis. On that unfortunate note, welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben DuBose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's episode is sponsored by Action Heat, which makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Stay toasty warm during your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat apparel, and use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. As we chat this Monday evening, again, the Rockets 103-91 losers in Minneapolis against the Timberwolves on Monday evening. That snaps a two-game winning streak for Houston, drops them to 11-12 on the year. James Harden led the way with 29 points and 8 assists, although 22 of them came in the first half, which was a theme for the Rockets as a whole. Clint Capella, 24 points, 8 rebounds. But really, the story, the Rockets scored 62 points in the first half, just 29 in the second, including 9 in a brutal fourth quarter. They actually held the Timberwolves to just 17, but ultimately, when you score just 9, it doesn't really matter. And the theme for the Rockets, they ran out of gas to some extent. It's understandable for the Rockets. It's the third in a four-night stretch. It's their seventh game in 11 nights in six different cities, so it's understandable why they would have some tired legs, and they started out hot. Eventually, the three-pointers stopped falling, and ultimately, especially with Chris Paul coming off a hamstring injury, I don't know that there were the springs to necessarily get a lot of options around the rim, especially with how the officials let Minnesota get away with a decent bit of contact in the second half. But really, that's not the reason for the loss. It comes back to the fact the Rockets just did not have the juice late in the game that they had in the first half. A lot of it is the prototypical scheduling loss, but I know you guys don't want to hear it, and it's justified because when you start 4-7, when you start 9-11, when you start 1-5, to go back to the start of the year, this is where it costs you. It's not just that you're having a rough start to the year, it's that it shrinks your margin of error to where the usual understandable schedule losses later on, those aren't there anymore. And so while you can look at this on paper and say, well, the performance is explainable, at the same time for the Rockets, they dug themselves a hole in which they need, in order to get out of it, to steal games that might otherwise be schedule losses. This was one of them. You start out with a 19-point lead, a 16-point lead in the second half, and Minnesota, I know they entered this game winning 7 of 10. Now they've won 8 of 11 since trading Jimmy Butler. But the Karl-Anthony Towns-led Minnesota Timberwolves are certainly not a juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination. The Rockets threw about the first half and a couple of minutes of the second half, so I'd say 26 minutes of the game, went out and executed just like it was last postseason. We talked on yesterday's show about how this week for the Rockets, Minnesota and Utah on the road was reminiscent of the playoffs, and if the Rockets were truly back, we should see signs of that. Well, we did for about the first 26, 27 minutes, and ultimately it just felt like the Rockets hit a brick wall. The officiating changed a little bit, but really, there's no excuses to turn from 62 points in the first half to 29 in the second. The bottom line, the Rockets just ran out of gas. They weren't the same team, and now they fall to 11-12 on the year, still below 500, now 23 games into the 82-game season. And while you can point to the team as a whole, as mentioned, James Harden, who led the team in scoring, the MVP of the league, had 22 points in the first half, just 7 in the second. Really, you have to look at the broader picture, and the bottom line, over 48 minutes, they just did not get enough from the return of Chris Paul. Just 1 of 8 shooting, 5 points, and of the 5 points, 3 came on a three-pointer in the final 3 minutes of the game when the outcome was largely decided. The Rockets were down 12 at the time, and it was almost certainly too late for them to mount a comeback. And this is a guy coming off a hamstring strain. It's his third game in 4 nights. We mentioned it was promising him that he played an average of 30 minutes the first 2 games. But look, even if it's night 3 of a 4-night stretch for the Rockets and for Chris Paul personally, the return to form that we talked about for the team this weekend against the Spurs and the Bulls, it was built around the principle that some of the minutes that were previously going to either bench guys, rookies like Gary Clark, Isaiah Hartenstein, Daniel House, although House played pretty well tonight, especially in the first half. I don't want to throw him under the bus. But basically, instead of giving minutes largely to either guys that were projected G Leaguers end of the year or stretching out James Harden, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker to largely unsustainable levels, that you'd instead be giving them to a Hall of Famer in Chris Paul. And that's largely how it worked out on Saturday and Friday nights. I believe the game against the Bulls, Chris had a season-high 13 assists. Well, then you go from that level of performance to 5 points on 1-of-8 shooting, really 2 points on 0-of-7 shooting when the game was actually in question, 7 assists but to 5 turnovers. To put it simply, it's nice that Chris Paul played 36 minutes, but if he doesn't give you better performance than he did tonight, then ultimately the dynamic has not really changed that much compared to where we were a week ago when the Rockets were on this 4-game losing streak and we were complaining about substandard players getting minutes. Yes, on paper, Chris Paul should be a lot better than he was tonight, and I'm confident that over time he will be. He was pretty solid this weekend, and it's no coincidence the Rockets average wins by nearly 25 points a game when that version of Chris Paul was out there, but this version of Chris Paul, it's just not good enough. I tend to think a lot of it is the fact that 3 games in 4 nights for a 33-year-old coming off a hamstring strain, it's a high workload, and to some degree, I think the Rockets played him on both ends of the back-to-back this weekend, even though that's not necessarily advisable for someone coming off that injury in particular, because they were in such dire straits that they could not rush him back. If the streak had gone to 5 or 6 games, the losing streak, that is, things should have gotten really bad, so they needed a stopper. That's what Chris Paul was this weekend, but to some extent, now they're paying for it, and it goes back to the original problem for the Rockets, which is that they didn't have enough depth to survive the Chris Paul and Gerald Green injuries of the past couple of weeks, or the James Ennis and James Harden injuries earlier in the season, which was round one. So really, everything comes back to that for the Rockets. I don't think they're actively hurt now, per se. I think they feel pretty good about the 9-man rotation, the 5 starters, plus Eric Gordon, Gerald Green, Daniel House, and now Nene off the bench. I think they feel decent about that, although Nene, minus 18 in his 10 minutes, certainly the younger Timberwolves took advantage of his lack of legs. I thought that was evident tonight. There are certain matchups that Nene is not really all that well suited for. This is one of them, and that's why I think you'd like to have another option that you could turn to. Ideally, it would have been Carmelo Anthony. That's why the Rockets played him at 5 a lot in the preseason, but I digress. Now, if that didn't work out, you'd like to have another smaller option if it's a more flexible team, a more athletic one, like the Timberwolves. But ultimately, the Rockets, they only have 9 guys they trust right now. They could use more than 9. Number one, they could use some alternatives to guys like Nay. They're not 100% set. But secondly, so that you don't feel compelled to extend Chris Paul at all costs, then yeah, the cost of sitting him a game here or there is not as extreme to where it was when he sat out just a couple of games with the hamstring tweak, but then it felt like just the wheels were falling off. And then all of a sudden, you brought him back coming off an injury, played on both ends of a back-to-back, one on the road, one at home. Typically, even when Chris is healthy at 33 years old and you're 14, you wouldn't necessarily expect him to play on both ends, especially early in the season when he's not at peak conditioning. But yet the Rockets felt like they had to, and it comes back to the problem that we have said all season long, which is the lack of depth after the top 9 or 10 guys. Even though the Rockets have a 9-man rotation they feel good about now, there are going to be some circumstances where it's not enough. This, in my opinion, was one of those games. The Rockets got caught in multiple ways with their lack of depth, even though it wasn't a lack of bodies tonight. There were 9 bodies that you could make a case for being quality NBA players. At the same time, the themes that have cost them throughout the season came back to haunt them tonight, just in a different way. The team as a whole not really having their legs. You can see it up and down the roster. The guys did not perform as well in the second half as they did the first. Rockets, again, 29 points in the second half, just 9 in the fourth quarter after scoring 62 in the first half, including 38 in the second quarter, just steadily declined from the third and especially the fourth quarters. But really, it comes back to Chris Paul. Everything that was different this weekend was built around having a Hall of Famer, and tonight the Rockets didn't have that. Instead, they had a guy who started 0 of 7 from the field for 2 points and had 7 assists to 5 turnovers. Now, Chris Paul certainly was not the only disappointing Rocket tonight. There were other guys that were similarly, I would say, injury or depth impacted. We'll talk about them in a moment, but for now I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors of today's show over at Action Heat, because without their support, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And my friends over at Action Heat, You know by now, they make the world's best battery-heated clothing, and the best part about them, they offer you heat on demand at literally just the touch of a button. With a product line starting at just $39, Action Heat Clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat through the use of heating panels, similar to those of a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees, and they're powered by a rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours per charge. The batteries can also recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're using them. Action Heat offers both men's and women's products, with new styles and models just released for this winter season. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with offerings like heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments. It's perfect for anyone on your holiday shopping list, really anybody that loves the outdoors or just hates being cold. And on top of all of that, of course, we've got a special offer for you guys as our listeners here at Locked On Rockets to save 20% off your entire order. To take advantage of that, go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything they've got. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. So let Action Heat keep you toasty warm during your outdoor activities this winter, and we thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. So jumping back into the postgame show, the recap of Monday night's disappointing 103-91 loss by the Rockets in Minneapolis against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Rockets led by 19 points in the first half, by as many as 16 in the second half, before ultimately going ice cold, scoring just 29 points in the second half, 9 points in the fourth quarter. Really, the team collectively seemed to run out of gas. It was their 7th game in 11 nights, their 3rd in 4 nights, and across the board, the performances in the second half were just nowhere as quality as they were in the first half. It really is that simple. But we spent our first segment talking about Chris Paul, because for the game as a whole, over 48 minutes, Chris Paul, a guy who you look at as a Hall of Famer, a guy who, that when he is on his game, can be a top 10 player in the NBA, still, even at age 33, year 14, 5 points on 1 of 8 shooting, really 2 points on 0 of 8 shooting, hit a 3 that was largely cosmetic and inconsequential in the final few minutes, 7 assists but 5 turnovers, that's just simply not good enough for what the Rockets are paying $40 million a year for. And from a 30,000-foot overview, that is by far the biggest reason for this loss. That said, when you lose a game by 12 and that you led by 19 late in the second quarter, that's over a 30-point swing in barely over 24 minutes, it's not just one player. It takes a village to go to those depths. And, you know, that's not even to let James Harden off the hook. Again, Harden led the team in scoring 29 points, 8 of 17 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3. That's a pretty good night, but he did have 5 turnovers. But most noteworthy with James, of his 29 points, 22 came in the first half. And he also left 3 free throws out there, made 10, but missed 3. When he really tightened things up, you could see at the line, when he was going 14 of 14, 14 of 15 with regularity, it seemed. He left 3 out there tonight, and what, in my opinion, often came at key inflection points of the game. But all in all, I think when you dissect a game and you break it down into individual halves or quarters or stretches, you can make any player look bad or good. There's a game of runs in basketball, and that's why you have to look at the game as a whole, and sometimes more than that, you know, months or even seasons as a whole, to get a true sense of what you can expect a player to produce. Funky things happen in small sample sizes, and so that's why I'm not going to say Chris Paul, after one bad game, is all of a sudden just a huge liability for his contract, or that the Rockets are in deep trouble in the grand scheme. I don't necessarily think that. They're in deep trouble in the sense that, well, they're 11-12, and they have to dig out of an early hole, and right now they're not even in the Western Conference playoffs, as we sit here 23 games in, over a quarter of the way into the 82-game regular season. All of that is true, but I think a lot of what happened early on did have to do with the injuries, maybe a little bit of the hangover effect coming off the Western Conference Finals, berth and being so close to winning it all, losing in Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals, et cetera, yada, yada. We've talked about this a million times before. Right now, we saw this weekend when the Rockets won both ends of the back-to-back by a combined 25-point average, almost. They can still be really, really good. When the Rockets look good, they're great. So there's something special in there. It's just a matter of the Rockets being able to bring that out with regularity. They did in the first half. Again, Minnesota came in after the Butler trade, having won 7 of 10. They were confident. They were playing at home. The Rockets went out in the first half. They looked dominant. This looked like a continuation of the playoff series, which the Rockets won 4-1, and I most remember at Target Center in Minneapolis, that 50-point third quarter where the Rockets came out of the half and just hit the ultimate in turbo nuclear buttons to put Minnesota away. It seemed like they tried to in the first half. They couldn't quite do that. A key moment in the game, in my opinion, was actually Andrew Wiggins hitting a 30-foot prayer at the buzzer to get Minnesota within 14. Being within 15 was enough to feel like they were in it, and then in the second half, really took over. Wiggins ended up scoring 16 points, very efficient for him, 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 3 from behind the arc. Karl Anthony Towns, 24 and 11. Taj Gibson, 15 and 11. Really, the Timberwolves were just animals in the glass in the second half. We'll talk more about that in the third segment of our 3 points recap. But in segment two, I want to continue with the theme that we discussed earlier about the minutes and the usage and the tired legs, because Chris Paul is certainly the standout from that standpoint, because by and large, he just was not good enough. And a 33-year-old year 14 coming off a hamstring strain, it's game three in 4 nights for him. And you can put all those things together and see where the underwhelming performance, 5 points, 7 assists, 5 turnovers, 1 of 8 shooting comes from. But the other thing that stood out to me, besides the team as a whole being worse in the second half, PJ Tucker, 37 minutes, 1 of 7 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3, minus 14. Eric Gordon, 34 minutes, 4 of 13 from 3, 2 of 8, or 4 of 13 overall, 2 of 8 from 3, just 10 points. And Eric's 2 3-point makes, one of them came on his first attempt of the game. There was an infamous sequence early in the first quarter when Gerald Green, the TV max, caught him on the bench saying, "Oh, that splash," when Gordon got an open look at a 3 and he buried it. From then on, he made just 3 shots the remainder of the game on 12 attempts, just 25%, including 1 of 7 from behind the arc. And what I thought about throughout the cold stretch for Eric and PJ was something that Mike D'Antoni told us in the Houston media last week, which was that the stretch without Chris Paul and Gerald Green, when the Rockets had the aforementioned just 3 expected G Leaguers entering the year available to them off the bench, Gary Clark and Isaiah Hartenstein, who currently aren't even in the rotation anymore, plus Daniel House, who was signed from the Rio Grande Valley Vipers. When they were extending the starters to 40, and in many cases much more than that, minutes per game, what Mike D'Antoni told us was that he's not that worried about James Harden, because Harden's proven that he can handle that level of workload. And to some extent he did, even in the game Monday night in Minnesota, in which James rolled his ankle early, looked brutal, stepping on Andrew Wiggins' foot. He ended up playing just fine and moved very well for the remainder of the game. But what Mike told us was that it wasn't James, but it was the other guys that were having to step up and play that many minutes. The PJ Tuckers, Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, those types. You might can lean on James Harden for a brief stretch and say, "Hey, we need you 40, 42 minutes for a given night." Those other guys, especially the case of a guy like PJ, who's now 33, Eric Gordon, who's approaching 30, that's an awful lot to ask. And those were the guys tonight. When you look at the Rockets' shooting figures, James Ennis was 3 of 5. Clint Capella was 11 of 14. Daniel House was 2 of 4, all of those from behind the arc. Gerald Green was 2 of 5. When you look at why the Rockets went ice cold, despite starting hot from 3, shooting just 11 of 39, 28% from the game, it wasn't like everyone had a bad night from the field or from behind the arc. It was generally concentrated in a few players. And we covered Chris Paul earlier. There's a direct injury situation there that we're aware of. But the other issue to keep in mind, and that's why it goes back to that overall depth theme, it's the guys that had to step up during that 4-game losing streak and take on these Herculean workloads, even if they were able to go then, and even if there's not an active injury for PJ Tucker or Eric Gordon or any of these guys, still, when you put them out there for that long, there's a cumulative effect, even if they're not acutely injured, to where it makes them less springy. They don't have the legs to go for the rebounds or to extend on the 3-point shots the way they do when they are feeling really good. And so to me, besides the obvious scheduling impact, a stretch of 7 games and 11 nights, 3 and 4, that certainly doesn't help. six cities for the Rockets over those 11 nights. So there's been a ton of airplane travel, not ideal sleeping schedules in there, all of those. But on top of all the normal scheduling factors, then you throw in a Rockets rotation that has been either injured in the case of Chris Paul or laughably overextended in terms of the few guys that have actually been healthy through this recent stretch. And it all came together for the Rockets tonight. And that's why I'm not willing to say that it's just a schedule loss. To a certain degree, it is. But number one, they've got to steal a few wins that would otherwise be schedule losses to overcome this sluggish start to the year, now 11-12. But in addition to that, then you also have to, when you look at this from a true overview perspective, you have to look at why certain guys might be even more prone to those effects. And so the depth factors that we've been discussing all year long, this is why, even though the Rockets now have a nine-man rotation, that if you ask Mike D'Antoni, I think he feels pretty good about the nine guys that went out there tonight. Some of them just played poorly, and in the case of Nene, I don't think it was an ideal matchup for him against the youth and athleticism of the Timberwolves. But this is why it's imperative for the Rockets, hopefully sooner rather than later. I do think, for reasons we've outlined ad nauseum in the last few days, they're trying to buy until December 15th, when the NBA's trade season effectively opens. That's when off-season signings, such as Michael Carter-Williams and Carmelo Anthony in Houston, but also any others around the league, can be dealt. So really, it serves as kind of the opening of trade season for the league as a whole. I think the Rockets are trying to get there. But that's why it's imperative for the Rockets to do something sooner rather than later, even if they have nine guys that they feel pretty good about. It's not just about, well, how is your roster for this particular game? No, whenever injuries inevitably happen again, and they will, then what does it mean for not just that game in terms of how can you make it through, but also then whatever measures you take to make it through that game, then what does that mean for weeks down the line when you're in a rough spot and now all of a sudden Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker have been laughably overextended playing nearly, or in the case of PJ, more than 40 minutes per game. To me, all of those things came to a head for the Rockets tonight. And so, yeah, Chris Paul deserves the lion's share of the blame. But you also have to look at themes that have really plagued the Rockets and been around this team all season long. They need more depth. And even if there's not a spot in the rotation tonight other than Nene where you say, wow, you can clearly get an upgrade. At the same time, if your 10th or 11th guys on that bench are better than they have been and better than they are right now, then ultimately you're probably not having your regulars taxed to the extent where PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon shoot a combined 5 of 20 from the field. Final thought of our 3 points recap, and it's related to the others, but segment two was spent talking about Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker combined just 5 of 20, 25% from behind the arc. But another way you could see the effects was in the rebounding battle. The Rockets lost 42-34, and throughout the entirety of the year, this is what you can question. The Rockets have consistently been at the bottom of the league in defensive rebounding rate, and I've seen some argue, well, the Warriors the last couple of years have been near the bottom of the league in defensive rebounding rate as well. Maybe the Rockets worried about matching up with them. Well, when you're 11-12, you can't just worry about a hypothetical playoff series with the Warriors. This is not October anymore. You have to get through 82 games, first make the playoffs, hopefully get an advantage seed the way they did last year. I'm not going to say the one seed is completely out of the picture at this point, but certainly it's significantly less likely than any of us would have liked to have seen it be in early December. But it's pretty clear that there are a lot of matchups. You know, we saw the recent road trip, Andre Drummond and Tristan Thompson give the Rockets a lot of problems. Well, in this game, the turnaround for the Timberwolves, it started when Taj Gibson and Karl-Anthony Towns combined 22 rebounds between them, with Taj Gibson, 11 rebounds in just 27 minutes, just abused the Rockets on the front line. Clint Capella, we mentioned he had 24 points in 38 minutes on 11 of 14 shooting. That's great, but 8 rebounds in 38 minutes, that's well below his usual efficiency. And I think a lot of it had to do with he's not as springy after being as overextended as he's been in this recent stretch with all the injuries and, of course, not even having Nene as a backup. Nene had a bad night tonight, but even with Nene having a bad night, they still trust him more than Isaiah Hartenstein, who's been the backup for the majority of the year, and certainly more than Marquese Chriss. So all these guys, your role players, this goes back to what Mike D'Antoni said. He trusts James Harden to play a few more minutes here or there, not for the season as a whole, but certainly in the interim. But the Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, Clint Capella tier, that's where the mileage can add up. It did it in the shooting, the combined 5 of 20, 25%. from Tucker and EG. But in Capella, I think it's the rebounding. 8 boards. And yes, I know on the switching scheme, he's pulled away from the basket some. Well, for the year, he is a monster on the glass. He was significantly below his usual percentages tonight. And I thought, to a large extent, Karl-Anthony Towns and Taj Gibson just had more springs. They wanted it more, although I don't even know if that's necessarily the fair phrase in this case, because Clint Capella has just taken on a career high in minutes. You would normally say they want it more. In this case, I think we've seen plenty from Clint Capella that he wants it this year. I think it's just normal and natural for him to not have the springs at the end of a 3-4 night stretch for him. And Clint, as one of the mainstays, has not missed a game. He's been out there the entire 7-11 night stretch in 6 different locales. The good news is that the Rockets do return home after the remaining 2 games of this road trip, at Utah Thursday, at Dallas Saturday. Then they are home for an extended stretch. They don't have another game until Thursday, so that should allow the team collectively to get their legs back. That should let James Harden rest that turned ankle, which is probably a little worse than he let on. I'm sure adrenaline let him power through in a way that maybe he won't wake up in the morning and feel quite the same or as flexible. But when you look at the season as a whole, to get back to the point of this third and final segment of our recap, if there's one consistent theme for the Rockets, they started the year as an inexplicably poor offensive team. Well, since November 1st, ever since really the second day after the news of them potentially releasing Melo came out, the Rockets entered tonight, since November 11th, the Indiana game, when they entered at 4-7 as the league's top-ranked offense by far. So Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, they finally started making more shots. The offense has turned around, despite in the first 11 games, the offense being a key theme, and they're not making threes, they're not making layups. You can go back to our archives here at Locked On Rockets and see all of those. Well, since then, the defense has had some regressions, and then they've had injuries. So depending on what week it is, the Rockets have had different issues. But the most common theme they have had, they have hovered throughout the year at the bottom of the league and rebounding rate, and really, other than Clint Capella, there is no one they can trust to get key rebounds. PJ Tucker, for all of his skills, he is 33 years old, his athleticism continues to fade, and he's 6'6". The Rockets might could use another post presence, or at the very least, maybe they could use another wing rebounder. This could be an area where, for all of the downplaying I've done of Trevor Ariza versus James Ennis, Ariza is a better long rebounder than James Ennis is, and perhaps that has some effect in this area. But regardless of whether the Rockets bring in another wing, whether they bring in another big body, this is an issue for them. The one thing that has most consistently been there, they have not been a good enough rebounding team, and I know you can point to the fact that, well, it's not necessarily a prerequisite for success. Look at the Warriors. Well, again, the Warriors have 4 All-Stars and 2 MVPs to fall back on. The Rockets don't have that foundation, especially over 82 games. They have to grind. And right now, when it gets chippy, other than Clint Capella, they don't really have guys they can trust to body up the likes of Taj Gibson, Karl-Anthony Towns. And if Clint Capella is diminished even a little bit, and I think he was, 8 rebounds, just 6 defensively in his 38 minutes, then all of a sudden it just doesn't feel like the Rockets really have a presence to get crucial rebounds on either offense or defense around the rim. And for all the things we've talked about, depth being the most important for the Rockets, regardless of position, just get Mike D'Antoni more bodies he can trust. I think that will help more than anything in terms of what plagues the team right now. But if you had to pinpoint a very specific need, in my opinion, what's been there the most, and we could see it tonight, especially over the regular season, it's rebounding. Can you get someone either on the wing or up front that can help you against these big physical teams over the 82-game grind to get you the hustle points? Maybe it's not what you need against the Warriors in the playoffs. I don't know. But when you start 11-12, it's not just about the Warriors anymore. The Rockets have to worry about the remainder of the regular season. And in my opinion, just as much as the depth is an issue, as evidenced by Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, and PJ Tucker shooting, the rebounding, collectively, Minnesota with a 42-34 advantage, and it grew significantly in the second half, that is an issue that's been with the Rockets the entire year. And so beyond just adding bodies anywhere, that would help the Rockets, a team that after 9 or 10 in the rotation seems to fall off a cliff in terms of the trust factor with bodies at the end of that bench. Well, if there's one area where they could just clearly, no matter the game, no matter the stretch, need the most help, it's on the glass. I'm open to different ways you can get that. But as Daryl Morey approaches December 15th and looks at the various options at his disposal, to me, that is an emphasis where the Rockets have to think about. Maybe it's not a big body. Maybe it's a wing that can rebound a little bit better than James Ennis and Daniel House, who had just a combined 5 in their 37 minutes tonight. I'm open to suggestions there, but that is the most consistent flaw I've seen for the Rockets, aside from the general injuries and depth this season. And again, it's just a continuation of themes, really. Even though the Rockets won the 2 games this weekend, all of a sudden it doesn't really feel that different than what we've seen the past couple of weeks in terms of just the uneven things, the themes that we have seen for quite some time with the basketball team that is now, unfortunately, 11-12, 23 games into the year, far below any of our expectations. So, on that bummer of a final note, this is where we will leave off. As always, I appreciate y'all so much for tuning in. If you want more content before our next episode, which I believe will be Wednesday, I think I'll take tomorrow off, and then we'll come back on Wednesday to preview the Utah game. Tomorrow we can all change our batteries, and Wednesday we'll look ahead to Utah, and then Thursday, of course, we'll be back to game analysis when the Rockets return to the floor against the Jazz. But if you want more content before the next show, of course, the best way to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also got an email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, a Facebook account, facebook.com/lockedonrockets, a website, lockedonrockets.com. Always, you can access our prior content, ask me questions about the team, or inquire about how to become a potential sponsor of the program, just as our friends at Action Heat were today. Remember, stay toasty warm during your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat's battery-heated clothing line, and use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Also, I mentioned subscribing to us. The best places to do that, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, etc., etc. That's how you get episodes right when they come out. And if you would subscribe to us and also leave us a 5-star review, that's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model working here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Once again, the unhappy final from Target Center in Minneapolis on Monday night. Timberwolves 103, Rockets 91. That snaps the Rockets' 2-game winning streak and drops them to 11-12 on the year. With that, enjoy what's left of your Monday and the beginning of your week. And come back soon right here at Locked On Rockets for more analysis right here at your home for daily podcast coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.